Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 11 or 12 minutes, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own.
Today we are looking at 12 secrets about wealth, growing your wealth, protecting your wealth, making more money, that are actually found in the Bible. The truth is that most people think the Bible has very little to say about money, when in reality, the most common word found throughout the Bible is actually money. Not only that, most people think that when the Bible talks about money, it's communist hippy-dippy stuff, about wealth being evil, and that if you live anything beyond a subsistence-level poverty lifestyle, then you're living immorally. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
When man was created, he was created with God supplying everything he had need of. And then when man sinned, he lost the relationship with God, and he also lost the provision of God. Well, it was said there in the Bible that when Adam sinned, that he would now have to find his own way through life, find his own provision, with the sweat of his own brow and with painful toil. Now, we've all been raised under that system. If I told you to make money or get out of debt, your first inclination would be to run faster. More jobs, sweat more, more painful toil. That's the natural way.
No. The natural way is to go bankrupt. That's what's going on, but
well,
go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Right. The natural way to win in life financially is to grit your teeth and work harder and longer and sweat more under this earth curse system. And what Jesus did, he's restored back to us covenant. Actually, it happened in the Old Testament. Abraham stepped into that covenant, which overrode the earth curse system and allowed the blessing of God to allow the finances and the wisdom and the insight to take over that system.
Scripture provides a roadmap to financial success, but without knowledge and understanding of these divine principles, even the most faithful Christian can struggle financially. The lack of practical knowledge regarding finances causes many to miss out on the abundance that God intends for his people.
Most everyone would like to have more wealth and prosperity. Few, however, manage to attain it. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is known as America's Rabbi. He says financial success is the result of doing the right things. In his new book, Business Secrets from the Bible, Rabbi Lappin uses simple concepts to help increase income regardless of your faith. It'll change the way you think about money and help you make more of it.
Here's a revelation. Jesus had a treasure, which means he had treasures. Mm. You know, if you're broke, you don't have a treasure. I think a lot of people picture Jesus as, you know, walking around and he's, you know, they're fasting out of because they don't have any food and they're all emaciated. And again, I'm not saying they were hotshot flashy evangelists, but he's the God of more than enough.
Right.
And so, I mean, like he shouldn't have told us his name was Jehovah Jireh. If he wasn't going to be our provider, he shouldn't have told us his name was El Shaddai, the God of infinite supply. He gave us some clues into who he is. But in the life of Jesus, we just see he had more than enough. He was able to feed 12 teenage boys for 3.5 years of ministry. Do you know how much they eat? I think this is maybe the greatest financial miracle in the Bible, right?
Does God want you to be wealthy? If you're struggling financially, is that a sign that you're out of favor with God or lack sufficient faith in God? Or is it being wealthy rather than being poor that is the real sin? This is the last of 13 episodes on tough topics in the Bible and the Christian life. The final tough topic is wealth. The Bible passage for this episode is Luke 12, 13 to 21. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In the time of Jesus, wealth was considered a sign of God's blessings. That was the case for centuries before, too. One of the best examples of this in the Old Testament is Solomon, who became the king of Israel when his father David died. 1 Kings 3 says that Solomon loved the Lord and demonstrated that love by making sacrifices to God and walking in God's statutes. One night, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you." In his response, Solomon first acknowledged that God had shown great and steadfast love to his father David because David had been a faithful follower of God. Solomon then thanked God for making him the king, but expressed his concern that, basically, he was in over his head. Then Solomon made his request in verse 9. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." Here's how God responded to Solomon's request. "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days." God made Solomon not only the wisest man in the world, but also the richest man in the world. Here's one example of Solomon's wealth. Every year he received over 25 tons of gold. At a price of $2,000 an ounce, that's about $1.5 billion in gold every year. He had so much gold that all his cups were made of gold. Precious metals were as common in Jerusalem as stones. Solomon was the ultimate example of the belief that wealth was a sign of God's favor. If you were wealthy, then you were righteous. If you were poor, then you had done something wrong. Some passages in the book of Proverbs, most of which was written by Solomon, support the idea that poor people are lazy or worse. Here are two. Proverbs 6, 9-11. "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Proverbs 23:21. "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." But Solomon also wrote this in Proverbs 14. "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." If the poor are out of God's favor, then why would oppressing a poor man insult God and being generous with him honor God? Solomon, the richest man in the world, recognized three things. Number one, everything he had was a gift from God. Number two, God has made all of us in his image. And number three, all of us are sinful and needy. Near the end of his life, Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 12:13. "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Every Israelite knew Deuteronomy 6:4-5 by heart. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Your heart includes not just your emotions, but your intellect too. So loving God with all your heart means loving God with all that you have inside. The Hebrew word translated as soul is nephesh, which means living being or life. So loving God with all your soul means loving him with everything you have inside and out. So why are you commanded to love God with all your might? Don't heart and soul cover the bases? The word translated here in Deuteronomy as might has a Greek translation of power, and an Aramaic translation of wealth. So it means all your resources, your financial wealth, your physical resources such as your home and your possessions, and even your less tangible resources such as your talents, education, training, and experiences. God has given us everything, including our wealth and our other resources. We are called to use everything, including our wealth, to love and serve Him in every way we can. And that brings us to our passage for the week, which I read earlier. The parable of the rich fool. Why does God call the man in the parable a fool? It wasn't because the man was rich. It was because the man was not rich toward God. Thanks for listening. As always, I encourage you to pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.